This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm Gary Holt, and joining me is our lovely, vivacious Robert. That's later in the show. Joining me is our lovely co-host from Missouri, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary, and how are you today?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good. It's a great day, and we have a terrific show with a lot to cover today. So tell our audience who we have joining us.
Well, today we have the wonderful Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister. Then we travel to Julian, California, and talk with Brian Grant, owner of Stagecoach Trails RV Resort and Horse Camp.
All right, so it's going to be a fun show. We've got a lot of great conversations, some really great music that we're going to be sharing with folks today as well. And we want to remind everyone that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you can find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. It's also made possible by our fine show sponsors, Trailhead Supply, your source for the best camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. And you can learn more about Trailhead Supply at their website, trailheadsupply.com, and Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more today at trailguard.org. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat, and when we come back, we'll be talking with the lovely Robert Eversole. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Well, I got a gal at the head of a creek, going up to see her about 2 times a week. Kiss her on the mouth as sweet as any wine, wrap herself around me like a sweet potato vine. Going up Cripple Creek, going on a run, going up Cripple Creek, have a little fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl, going up Cripple Creek, see my little girl. Jump on a boy like a dog on a bone. Roll my fences up to my knees, waiting old Cripple Creek whenever I plead. Going up Cripple Creek, going on a run, going up Cripple Creek, have a little fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl, going up Cripple Creek, see my little girl.
Introduction for Robert Eversole. Good morning, Robert.
I'm telling you, Gary, you're starting
to worry. Good morning. It's been a long time since I've been called lovely and vivacious, but hey, I'll take it.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Tina Mae. So how is everybody today?
Hey,
wonderful.
Doing good.
Fantastic.
Doing well. Doing well. And by
excellent.
The way, that was Cripple Creek by Gary Allegretto and Ian Espinoza. And a fun way to start this show off. We're going to be traveling. I don't know if there's a Cripple Creek somewhere in the backcountry, but we're going to be talking a lot about riding in the backcountry and how we get there and how we do that.
I thought that would be an excellent topic for today, and I don't know that I've come across a Cripple Creek yet, but hopefully I don't wind up crippled in our adventures. But yeah, so I was kind of thinking that today maybe we could actually, after hearing that Allegretto guy with the opening song, I'm just had to get up and move around and tap my toes a bit. But I thought we could kind of talk about
hard. Yeah, kind of hard.
It is.
To deal. Yeah.
It is. But I thought we could talk about, camping in the backcountry a little bit. And I think we may have some callers call in with thoughts and comments. I know it's camping is one of my passions. I've gotten, I have to admit, I've been spoiled by one of the show sponsors today, Andy at Trailhead Supply. He is graciously taken me into the Bob Marshall, and it was tremendous. So get away from the trailhead, the organized campground kind of thing, and just kind of spread your wings a bit in the backcountry. And Tina May, do you want to share what we're going to be doing this summer?
Oh yes, we're both. Andy with Trailhead Supply is taking myself and Robert up to the Bob Marshall in the Wilderness. So I am very excited.
I think it'll be a great time and a great great experience. The Bob is just phenomenal, but Tina May is going to get to see the kind of camping that I just so rarely do. I call it glamping, actually.
Let me ask you a question real quick, Robert. And Tina May, have you ever gone into the backcountry to camp?
No.
Okay.
The Wilderness area, no.
Yeah, all right. So here's the question for you, Robert. For someone that's never gone into the backcountry, and our audience that's out there listening, what can they expect to be different about that?
No generators running through the night. No truck and trailer rigs pulling in at, 2 in the morning. A heck of a lot fewer neighbors. Or how about this? Different neighbors. Instead of, somebody, in the camper next door rattling around at 10 in the morning, your neighbor might be a moose walking through the meadow.
All right.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
That might be some differences, as well as, you just, oh, heavens, what a lousy time for words to escape me. going into the backcountry is what I think we all dream about, and have the pictures in our mind, when we're riding our ponies. And so when we go for a ride, so Tina May, if I may, I'll use you as an example. So you're on a ride, and you go on a wonderful day ride from your camp spot at the trailhead, right? And, where do you go? You go to those great viewpoints, those great vistas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you start camping in the backcountry, you can stay there. You don't have to go back to the, to the organized campground and everything else.
What's going to be different for me is going in. Now, granted, most of the places that I go are not campgrounds. I kick out and I'll go and I'll take off and go ride. But I ultimately come back to wherever my truck is parked.
Right.
What is going to be different is the fact that it's kind of more like a pack-in trip, and which is something that I've always really wanted to do. And I've always started to do it and never was able to accomplish it. So I'm very excited about this. And for this to be at the Bob Marshall is even more exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be something. 1.5 million acres, the largest wilderness area in North America, excluding Alaska, and we're going to be right in the middle of it. It's going to be a great trip, and from what I gather, we're going to be putting together some audio, for the show. So I think that's just going to be the berries. it's going to be a great time. But let's go back to the horse camping kind of thing and chat about that. So, the kind of camping that you're going to experience with Andy is glamping. It's going to be you know, the wall tent. I wouldn't be surprised if Andy packs in a Dutch oven, you know, for a meal or two. And he has a glorious story about packing in blackberry pies or blueberry pies, some type of pie for smoke jumpers that didn't get broken. and it's going to be, you know, a great, well, heavens, I'm gonna be living the high life as well, because usually when I go camping, you know, it's off the back of my riding stock, and to give, you know, my animals that square deal that I always strive for. It's freeze-dried hiker fare and a wee tiny hammock instead of the wall tent and that kind of thing. It's not going to be the full Monty that we're going to get to experience going in with Andy. So it should be pretty darn nifty.
He told me we was going to have some steaks. I'm ready.
Oh, heavens, yeah. if you've got a mule, you know, I'll tell a story. So I do a lot of these equine expo events. Somehow I've gotten on the roster as a clinician at a lot of horse expos, you know, around the country, and some of them I go and Andy's there as a vendor as well. And last year at the Backcountry Horsemen of Washington Rendezvous, they had us set up across from one another, and I'm going through my talk about how to camp without pack stock. And Andy, pretty much every time I got to a good part, he would throw out or yell out, "Or you could just take another mule."
Another mule.
So if that were an option for me, I would have that steak and potatoes every night as well.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this question. You know, Tina May hasn't done this before. Most of our listeners haven't. And how does a person need to prepare themselves physically to go into the backcountry versus maybe riding out from camp and back into the campground?
Oh, heavens, Gary. I don't know that. You know, I think that as equestrians, as horse folk, I think regardless of where we're going, I think we need to be in good physical shape, whether it's a day ride or a 10-day trip into the backcountry away from it, you know, so that we're not, you know, I hate to say passengers or cargo, but so we're not passengers or cargo. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, regardless of how long we're going or where we're going, I think we need to be in shape. So, you know, my big thing for me is, you know, this time of the year I try to take lessons when I can. I'm a big fan of dressage, but I also try to, you know, keep myself physically in shape. You know, it makes those long days in the saddle a little bit easier, as well as easier on me if I decide to swing off and walk for a little bit and stretch my legs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I worry more about my animals, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go on a long trip, and certainly this trip into the Bob, you know, we're going to start with a 10-mile pull pretty near straight uphill. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm going to be getting my guy in shape, you know, long before, you know, I ask him to do that. So those are some of the things that I worry about on a physical side. I don't know
if
that necessarily answered your question.
Well, when you're working your horse and you're getting your horse in shape, because that's my number one goal right there, is to make sure that my horse is in shape, not only for himself, but for the rest of everybody that's going to be there. Nobody wants somebody lagging behind. And so mm-hmm. As we are preparing to get our horse in shape, naturally we're going to get in shape as well. The difference is, you know, here in Missouri, we got a little foothills. We don't have the mountains in Montana. And so I got a little different strategy that I'm doing with my horse to make sure that they can handle the uphill climbs and the downhill climbs and things like that for a long period of time. And so, and my dog too. So, I mean, it's just, I think when you work on getting your horse physically in shape, I think it gets everybody else in shape as well.
I think you're so right. I think, I don't think, I know. How about that for certitude? when I'm writing regularly, you know, so spring, summer, and fall, I know I'm in a lot better shape than I am, you know, certainly right now, you know, coming off of winter, you know, the snow is just starting to melt here in Spokane, you know, and it's just been arena work. I mean, arena work is better than nothing, but it's not like trail work, if you will. Right. So yeah, so I think we all have some exercising to do. And certainly, you know, a pack trip, there's a glorious movie that Montana PBS put out a few years back, maybe 5, maybe 10, not positive, called 3 Miles an Hour, about Mr. Smoke Elser and his efforts to keep the Bob Marshall wild. And I just love that title, 3 Miles an Hour, because that's really the speed we're going. So we're not, it's not some hell for leather endurance race or anything like that. There's no competition, and we're just going to take it nice and slow and easy. And, you know, I've ridden with Andy a bit, and I can tell you right up, when we come to streams, he stops, and everybody gets a drink, and only after everybody's gotten a drink and had a breather will we move on. So it's, you know, it's as far as you can get from you know, competition. It's hard riding, don't get me wrong, but it's not like we're trying to prove something to anybody other than ourselves and, you know, making it to camp, everybody making it to camp safe and sound. I think you're going to have a great time. Now, are you going to bring the better half?
I am.
Excellent.
Well, we're planning to. We got to see what happens. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about camping in the backcountry. And, of course, Tina May's mouth is watering when we're talking about the steaks and the blackberry cobblers. But, but let's take just a quick break and talk about Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your source for the best camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online packing supply store with their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana. Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Visit Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. We'll be right back to talk more with Tina May and with Robert. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Calling to me, shadows in the darkness running hauntingly, and the rustle of the wind, and the rustle of the pines, and the coyotes keep howling through the night. Sometimes I have to work all alone, out there in my saddle among sagebrush and stone. But they're out there in disguise, laughing through their eyes, and the coyotes keep howling through the night. Mama cows, keep those young ones by your side. Don't bed them down in places that the predators can find. I learned this business from the elder cattlemen. And I'm calving out these cows, and I'm doing doctoring. But I'm thinking I might find just a little peace of mind if the coyotes would just quit howling through the night.
Howling in the night, and I guess there might be a few night sounds up in the Bob Marshall.
I would say that you're absolutely right, Gary. You know, some of the things that I like best about, you know, camping in the backcountry, you know, when you don't have the noise pollution of generators and the like, you can really hear, you know, the critters that are out there that we're sharing the countryside with. And certainly, you know, coyotes are fairly common. You hear them a lot. I can't say that I've ever had the pleasure of hearing a wolf off in the distance. Hoping so for this year.
we will
find out. Hopefully just in the distance, though, you know. and
have you heard of any big cats?
Nope.
We've even heard that here in Missouri.
Here in the mountains and the Cascades, they call them mountain canaries. And the first time I ever heard an elk bugling in the fall time was the most spectacular thing. I had no idea that it really sounds like a bird in the middle of the night, but that
wow.
It was a massive bull elk, you know, with this kind of kind of hard to describe, but it's just this odd, strange noise, and kind of nifty.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
And
you know, that's something else. You know, a lot of people ask me about, you know, preparing, you know, your animal and everything. And one of the things is that you can't really prepare them for is this different smells. You know, you have different trees, different
mm-hmm.
smells, different animals, and things like that. And that smells very strangely to the horse. And the air is going to be a little bit different. So I like to be there a couple of days early just to get them acclimated to the air. But
oh,
also, you know, kind of get used to some of the smells because, you know, that's kind of freaky to a horse because they rely on their senses. And there's going to be a lot of strange smells.
Strange smells, strange sights. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be, in some places, we're going to be looking down, you know, heavens, half mile or better, you know. So there's going to be places where for their viewpoint is going to be a little bit different than perhaps in Missouri or
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's going to be different for all involved. But the great thing about horses is they're great about, you know, following the leader, if you will. And Andy
mm-hmm.
has some great mountain horses, that I'm sure will lead the way just fine. And to tell you the truth, I don't know that since I'm going to be going in and then staying, you know, Tina May, you get to go in and then head out. So I think your trip is going to be, what, a four-day, 2 days in, 2 days out kind of a deal. I'm going in for 10 days. So.
Well, actually, we're going on and we're heading out. He's got some other areas that he's wanting to show us. So we're going in, dropping you off, and then we're going on to another area. And then we're going up on top of that top mountain where that cabin is. And then we're going to be heading back. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
You're going to have a great time. And you know, this kind of thing is accessible to everybody, you know, not just, you know, folks that know Andy at Trailhead Supply. It just takes some forethought and some planning. You know, while we were listening to the Coyotes Helen song, I was kind of thinking about, you know, some of the things that we need to, you know, think about before we go in. And I think this really applies to everybody. You know, so some of the things that I think about, you know, certainly when I'm going in on my own or without an outfitter support, is fees. You know, yes?
Yeah, I think we're losing you occasionally there.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me now?
No, I hear him just fine, Gary, but
you're fine now.
Yeah, okay. So, but feeding our animals, I think that is terribly important. It's not like at the trailhead where you just pull out a bale of hay out of the trailer. And if you haul feed into the backcountry, in my opinion, it's a series of diminishing returns, in that to take in enough feed for an animal, you're taking, 2% of his body weight per day, puts out to about 20 pounds of feed per day. It doesn't take too long before you've got a full pack animal loaded down with nothing but feed. And then you got to feed that pack animal. So you can kind of see how that can spiral out of control real quick. So when I go in, I always plan my trips, my routes, around where I can expect to find good graze. So a lot of that is looking at maps for water sources, because, you know, you got to have water for the grass. Talking to the rec rangers, you know, from the area that I'm planning on going into, you know, hey, can I find good graze for my animals around this I have
uh-oh.
To replan my trip. I heard an uh-oh.
Yeah, we're losing now and then.
Well, I lost you a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Heavens.
That's all right, but you're good now.
Okay. Technology. That's why
technology.
We go to the backcountry, to avoid it.
That's right.
So I will stand right where I'm standing right now. I'll put one arm up and lift one leg up so we get the right position for the antenna. So planning trips around, you know, graze for our animals so they have good food as well as us. Also, you know, if you're packing in the backcountry, you know, whether you're going my route with the lightweight things or with the pack string, we have to hold those critters overnight. So if we're used to corrals and electric enclosures at the trailhead, that's kind of different where we're going to be going. So we're going to be relying on high lines to make sure nobody has to, you know, walk back to the trailhead to keep all of our animals, you know, in one place, you know, where we put them at night, so they're all there in the morning. So the ability to hang up a high line to hold our animals, you know, safely and securely is very important. I find that, you know, when you camp at, you know, trailhead camping, it's great and wonderful, but it also is a little bit more forgiving, perhaps, than when we go a bit further afield. Does that make sense?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does make sense. You know, I was going to ask a question about the grazing. So when you guys get out and you're out in the back country, I guess you have a hearty breakfast or a freeze-dried breakfast, depending on how you're camping.
Tina May is going to be having a hearty breakfast, and Andy is I will tell you right up front, Andy and Chuck are wonderful cooks. They make the Dutch oven stuff. Oh, heavens. It's glorious.
I want to be spoiled.
I boil water and make coffee.
Yeah, but when does your day end? You know, you're talking about not packing feed in for the horses, so you're looking for an area that's got some water and some pasture. You know, how long do you stop? Or how early do you stop? And then are you hobbling your horses so that they can graze? And how long?
Usually what we do is, you know, one horse always stays on the high line. Call it the bell horse, if you will.
Yeah,
you know,
all right.
Because chances are the rest aren't going to leave one of their buddies sometimes. But what generally wind up doing is when you get up in the morning, while we're fixing breakfast, the horses are hobbled out on the out on, in the meadow, and they're rummaging for theirs as well. And then, you know, of course, at lunchtime when we're having our lunch, you know, generally hobble them again and let them rummage again, and then the same at dinner. But to answer the how long question, it, you know, backcountry camping is not, you know, I can hobble my horse and turn him loose, because believe it or not, hobbles only kind of sort of slow your animal down.
Right, you know, right.
A gallop is a two-beat gait, so you got to keep a close eye on them. My rule of thumb, you know, when I'm out, is I'll watch my guys, and if they're good and hungry, they're going to put their head down in that grass and they're going to eat. As soon as they start picking that head up and looking for that better piece of grass 10 feet away, well, then they go back up on the high line.
Okay.
Until we're ready to pack up and load out. That has worked very well for me in the past. But it's Mark. Not a forget about them kind of thing. You got to keep your eyes on them.
All right. Well, we're going to kind of shift gears, and we're going to go somewhere where you don't have to worry about hobbling your horses, and where they've got some great food and some more great riding, because we're going to be going to Southern California in just a moment. But first of all, we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your source for the best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. And learn more about Trailhead Supply at their website, trailheadsupply.com, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Brian Grant at Stagecoach Trails Horse Camp and RV Resort in Southern California. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Get your gear together, can you hear that prairie song? The winds of change are whispering, it's time to move along. That pony in the pasture's growing lazy and fat. There's something out there calling you, just don't know where it's at. You've got a rambling, restless bone inside, so ride, cowboy, ride. Throw your saddle over, son, and draw the cinch up tight. Fill up those saddlebags with rub and ride into the night. There's trails that you ain't ridden yet and places you ain't seen. There's beauty over yonder like most men can only dream. If you don't find it, it won't be cause you ain't tried. Ride, cowboy, ride. Ride over the mountain just to see the other side. Ride down into the valley where the river's flowing wide. Ride out into the desert. Empty hand is heavy as a stone, and your rock bottom lonely, well, just know you're not alone. When the world is closing in and you're longing to be free, pack away your troubles and come right along with me. Till your heart soars like the eagle when she flies. Ride, cowboy, ride. Ride over the mountain just to the side. Ride down into the valley where the river's flowing wide. Ride out into the desert, hear the coyote's lonely song. Stare up into the night sky and try to sing along with nothing but your
but your shadow at your side. Ride, cowboy, ride.
Brown's Ride Cowboy Ride, and we're riding on into Southern California, I think down around the San Diego County area, and welcoming to the show Brian Grant. Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Gary. Good to talk to you.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Oh, we've just got a party full here. We've got Tina Mae Weber on the line, and we have Robert the Trailmeister Eversole. And everybody is interested in learning more about Stagecoach Trails Horse Camp and RV Resort. And Brian, why don't you tell us just a little bit about where you're located and how your family got started with Stagecoach Trails?
Sure, be glad to, Gary. Well, first off, we're located right up next to the Anza Borrego State Park, which is the largest state park in California at 916 square miles, and it's famous for its wildflowers in the spring when it just kind of paints the desert with ocotillo and millions of tiny wildflowers, and there's 500 miles of trail in the Anza Borrego State Park.
Wow.
And we're actually located on the old Stagecoach Trail that goes from Missouri, where you are, out to San Francisco. So that's the highway right out in front of us there. There's also
Brian.
Wow.
Yeah. When you talked about the wildflowers, since you're not that far away from San Diego, when is spring in your neck of the woods? Is it now? Can we go there now and see the wildflowers?
Well, we'd like to say it's 365 days a year. spring, the wildflowers are very, very unpredictable. And I believe it's usually in March and April, in that time slot there. But it just depends on the weather that particular year. And they come every year, but some years are just really spectacular, and it's kind of a rare thing, so you have to get somewhat lucky. You got to get there within a 1 week period or whatever to really see the height of it, but if you look close enough, you can see it every spring in March. There's a carpet of yellow or a carpet of purple at certain times. It kind of rotates when that time is. And then the ocotillos are always blooming, and they're bright red. They're like on fire, the tips of the ocotillo. I don't know if there's probably some people that have never seen ocotillos. They are really beautiful when they're in bloom as well.
You're certainly painting a glorious word picture about it, though. It sounds just wonderful.
Yeah, people come from all over the world to see the Anza Borrego in bloom. You can probably Google it and see pictures. There's really good books out that I've seen of the wildflower bloom.
Well, I'm going to suggest people go visit your Facebook page, because you are a terrific photographer, even with your smartphone. And there's some great photos on your Facebook page there. So if you love beautiful flowers and if you love the desert, then your photographs are enough to make you want to come out and visit.
Yeah, it's probably been about a year since I posted flower pictures, but it's about time to put those up again. The sky has been just unbelievable lately, and that's what it's easy to take pictures of. I'm no photographer, but it's there. The subject is there, so it's simple to get a good picture of a sunset or a sunrise. The clouds casting their shadows on the mountainsides and on the desert. It's pretty cool to do.
Now, are you located in the are you located in, and I hope I'll pronounce this right, the Borrego Valley?
Well, we're not in the what you would call the Borrego Valley, where Borrego Springs is. That is quite a bit lower than us. That's right about sea level, and it's a different part of the desert. We're in the high desert at about 2,300 altitude. And we're in a high desert valley surrounded by mountains, and there's some 5,000 foot mountains to the west of us where Julian is located. And Julian is an old mining town that is really a neat place to visit, known for their apple pie and their apple festival in the fall. And for at that time, some of the locals dress up in period dress. It's just a very, very quaint little town that people love. And the people of San Diego and surrounding counties, Riverside County, Imperial County, they all flock to Julian. And so we're fortunate to be located 20 minutes east of Julian.
Well, when you mentioned the apple pies, I could hear Tina May's mouth watering yesterday. So this girl loves food. Yeah.
It's funny because someone had, when we had announced that you was on the show, that was one of the main things that was brought up to my attention, is that Julian has these apparently magnificent apple pies. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That's right. Yeah, there are probably 20 different restaurants in Julian that will serve their version of apple pie, and I haven't had a bad one yet. They're fantastic. They actually export them throughout the area.
Wow, and people travel there. Well, you have some pretty great facilities at your place. Let's talk about those a little bit. Tell us about your place and the facilities that you have.
Sure. It's we have 279 RV spaces. We have on-site laundry and hot showers and restrooms, of course. 71 horse corrals, a riding arena, a round pen, a wash rack for your horses. And we have a little store that will soon have a deli inside of that store, too, within a few weeks. So we just keep making it better, and people are loving it. They keep coming, and they like what they see, and we love happy campers and our happy horse campers as well.
And you have 279 campsites. Is that water and electric? Is it full hookup? And how large are you? Can people bring big rigs? Are you big rig friendly?
Yeah, they are all full hookups. We have a lot of pull-through sites that make it easier so you don't have to back in. We have some 50-amp service for the really large rigs, probably about, I'm thinking, 6 or 7 of those. Then we're gonna add to the 50-amp service places. Most of them are just 30-amp. We have an event center where you can hold a large event and a lot of horse groups and jeep groups and whatnot, and just RV groups hold their events there, with a large commercial kitchen and a dining facility that they can take over. And it's really beautiful. It's made out of logs from Northern California, very unique architecture. With the logs and, you know, and fireplaces, stone fireplaces and whatnot, it's really special.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. Now, is that something that you also rent out kind of to the public, maybe for weddings and such?
Yes, we do. We haven't had a wedding yet there. The event center's been open for a couple of years, and we're still waiting for our first wedding. But there's all kinds of other events we've had so far.
Okay. All right, and you had kind of touched about the trails. You said you got 500 miles of trail, so they can ride and ride. What about the terrain? Tell us a little bit about the trails.
Well, being high desert country and a valley, the on both sides of us, there's mountains, and it slopes. The slope is toward the mountain on both sides, and so it's a gentle slope up towards the mountains, and then you go through passes in the mountains and whatnot. There's Ocotillo cactus, Choya cactus, those wildflowers we were talking about. It's rocky up near the mountains, not with the trails aren't so rocky, but the boulders around there are really spectacular and beautiful. All I can tell you is that the riders really love it. The American Competitive Trail Horse Association has held several events there. We're having a huge event here in a few days on President's Day, as we always do. Some of the local horse clubs just practically take over the park, every available corral, plus they bring portable corrals, and they take over the event center, and it's a great time. We have some live country music.
We want to take just a quick break and find out some more about the trails there and some of the events that are coming up, because I know that you have a big event that's coming up this weekend, but we got to pay some bills, so let's take just a real quick break, and we'll be back to talk more with Brian. But we want to mention to our audience that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance with unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle, one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and my favorite, a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip, and much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more at trailguard.org. Online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head, gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. It gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and live a big old cloud of dust. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, fresh pair of wings and a long stretch. Strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Yeah.
Templeton Thompson's A Horse That Can Fly, and we're talking with Brian Grant at the Stagecoach Trails Horse Camp and RV Resort. And so welcome back, Brian.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be back.
All right. Tina May, wow. I think
so,
you
Brian,
have questions.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
It looks like
go
we
ahead,
stepped
Brian.
Over each other. So Brian, so you're at the edge of the Anza Borrego, and you were, you know, telling Tina May about what the trails are like. But, you know, Borrego is Spanish for the bighorn, the desert sheep, or as I learned earlier, the peninsular desert sheep. What kind of wildlife can we see when we're at the ranch and the resort?
Well, there's plenty of coyotes and roadrunners for excitement, of course, and owls and There are mountain lion that come through. I haven't seen one yet. I have seen a couple of bobcats, little twins, playing out in front of our store one time. That was really cute.
So a fair number of things besides the great terrain.
Oh yeah, definitely. And of course, there's plenty of reptile with snakes. We don't have a huge amount of snakes, but I haven't seen that many. But lizards, and that's pretty much it. We don't. Of course, the sky is what's beautiful. So there's beautiful birds flying in the sky, as well as
oh my! So not only those wonderful, wonderful desert sunsets and sunrises, but the birds and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, we're really known for our stars as well. We actually have a little pad for people to put their gear or their telescopes on so they can see the stars, because it's pretty dark out there at night and you can really see the stars. They just blanket the sky. So yeah, the sky is a big thing with me. You can see that. I love it just from the pictures on our Facebook page, and our skies are, you know, almost always perfectly clear. So it's kind of special when we get some clouds that kind of, it makes it even more beautiful, the sunsets and whatnot. And, you know, it's kind of like San Diego weather during the daytime, and at night it gets chillier than San Diego, just perfect for a campfire. So we got the best of all worlds down there.
Make me envious. I think I need to head south.
Yeah. Well, Brian, we know that you're there by the Anza Borrego, which is absolutely gorgeous. Sounds breathtakingly beautiful there. But the Pacific Crest Trail is near there. How close are you to the Pacific Crest Trail as well?
Well, it kind of skirts around us a little bit. The hikers have to come back about 4 miles to get to us, but they almost always do because it's the it's their first real good rest stop since they took off from Mexico, about 80 miles back. So they come back and they spend a little time there at our campground and kind of re-gear and refit. And if they stay too long, they're not going to make it. That's what I tell them. You better get going. not that I don't want them to stay, but you know, if they want to make it to Canada, you can't stay too long.
They love
our park. They love the swimming pool. They love our little cabins, and of course, a little bit of food and rest and refit and get their feet and their shoes, you know, in good shape again.
Thing I wanted to bring back up is about your cabins. We didn't really touch base on your cabins. Tell us a little bit about the different types of cabins you have and how many cabins you do have, because some people, you know, they like to stay in the cabin with their stay.
Right. We have quite a variety of cabins, everything from a cabin with a full kitchen and a wood stove to ones with just a kitchenette and a microwave, a coffee maker, and, you know, air conditioning and heating, of course. And then down to very, very primitive ones where it's basically a light bulb and an outlet and a couple of bunks where you can rest your weary feet, because really the outside is where it's at. So it's really for people that want to stay in a beautiful place but don't want to invest in the RV, and there's plenty of people that take advantage of that. We have about 12 cabins, I believe, right at the moment.
Well, and you have something for everybody. You just have it all. And these little cabin wagons are so unique and so cute. It's the first time I've ever seen those. And they're pretty primitive, to my understanding. It's pretty much a bunk in a wagon. And then they have a little electrical hookups. Is that correct?
Yeah. I have some friends that are pretty creative and came up with those. And they're very, they have a light bulb in them, and you know, and a couple of bunks, and they're cute as all get outs. The hikers love those. The kids love them, and they're just a tiny little place to rest your weary head, basically. And yeah, they are.
I think it's very unique. So you have something for everybody, whether they want the full kitchenette, you've got the pool, you've got the rec center, you've got so much, a huge place, beautiful sights to see. Tell us about your upcoming events. You have a big Valentine's event coming up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, the local horse groups kind of, this one is particularly spearheaded by the Lakeside Frontier Riders, but they kind of band together to have a President's Day weekend at our place pretty much every year. And so every corral is rented. I end up buying a few more corrals every year to try to help people, but I can never get enough of them. They bring a lot of portable corrals just for the weekend as well. And the place is pretty busy. Every cabin is rented, and quite a few of the RV sites are rented as well. They take over the kitchen and the event center, and we're going to have some live music on Valentine's evening. A local band called Barbed Wire will be performing, it's just good, clean, fun time. Everybody really enjoyed it last year. The first year we brought the band in, and it's just a good time for all. They have a ride or two that they do from there. There's other horse groups that have other weekends. The Los Senderos comes to mind. They're having one, I believe, in March. Of course, these are membership groups, but I don't know what you got to do to get in. You'd have to contact either Lakeside Frontier Riders or Los Banderos or one of the other horse groups in the area. They do. We have a lot of them that come there and make us their home for a weekend. And then, of course, there's a lot of just individuals that drop in and or small groups of individuals and you know, just have a lot of fun. I should mention something. I should mention something about the trails as well. I mean, this is an area where, you know, Kit Carson did a lot of exploring, you know, to create the immigrant trail, and the Mormon Battalion came through there in Box Canyon. There's slot canyons. There are a lot of Native American sites, you know, on the trails where you can see the morteros where they ground their pine nuts. It's pretty spectacular. And they're in, there's places where it's kind of published where they're at, but then you go to other places and they're there too. Pretty amazing. And there's one trail with a huge rock with ancient pictograph on it. So there's a lot of historical stuff in the area too, being right on the old Southern Overland stage route. We have restored stage stops nearby, about 20 miles down the road one way and 20 miles up the road the other way. So we're right on that trail, and there's just an area full of trails that you can explore to your heart's content.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Wow.
Well, this is absolutely another place to put on your bucket list, and that is at Stagecoach Trails Horse Camp and RV Resort. And, Brian, give us your website address.
That's pretty easy. It's just stagecoachtrails.com.
All right, stagecoachtrails.com, and then you also have the Facebook page, and you can visit that and like the page. I have. And some great mm-hmm. photographs there, so you can see what we're talking about when we talk about those skies out there in Southern California. And how far are you from San Diego?
Well, I don't know how they do it in Missouri, but in California we measure things in minutes.
All right.
About 90 minutes, about an hour and a half from San Diego.
All right. Well, in Tennessee, we measure things by minutes, too, so that's okay. But
I'm the one in Missouri.
I'm in Nashville. Tina May's in Missouri. Robert's up in Washington. So we're just all over the place today. So it's always a lot of fun. But anyway, a great place to visit and visit their website. That's stagecoachtrails.com and visit their Facebook page. And visit with Brian, and I'm sure he will point you out in the right direction for all the sites to see when you come to visit. And I was asking about how far San Diego is because I'm sure there's some folks that might want to stay at your place and then just run in to visit the zoo and some of the other sites to see in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, shoot, it's not that far from Disneyland for that matter.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's a really convenient place to come and spend some time and run, not only see the sights there, but also, and I love San Diego's Old Town. That's just a really cool place to visit as well. So, Brian, great information. I appreciate very much you taking the time to join us today. And we'll have
Absolutely.
To have you back again to talk some more about Stagecoach Trails.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Gary and Tina May. Robert, appreciate the talk, and hope you have a good ride down the trail. So I'll talk to you again.
All right. Well,
thanks so much.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Okay,
thank you
thank
so much,
you.
Brian.
Have a good one.
You too. I also want to let the listeners know that they are also a select campground with the Equestrian Legacy, so they can also go onto our site and go to our Legacy Select Campgrounds, Dude Ranches, and Guest Ranches, and also it'll route them to their site as well.
Well, Miss Tina, why don't you tell us about the Legacy Club and how people get involved in that and what that means to people to be members?
All righty. Our Legacy Club membership is free. Can't get any better than that. It's our way of saying thank you to our listeners. The benefits are great, like discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors and select campgrounds, guests, and dude ranches. You are also automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes, like our end-of-the-year drawing of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawings, like this month's fire ring from our select sponsor from the shop. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
All right. And our Legacy Club select campgrounds and guest ranches all offer discounts to Legacy Club members, as do all of our sponsors. So visit our website and take a look there. You can enroll right at equestrianlegacy.net. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Tina May and Robert the Trailmeister, and remind folks that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app, and also online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I came a long way. Hear me now, old man, I ask you to say a prayer for two people in your Sundance way. Medicine man, I ask you to sing for us a dance, a chance to put us in a trance. Medicine man, lift up your voice tonight and pass the pipe of everlasting life.
That is my... Michael Martin Murphy's Medicine Man, and I guess this is just probably a really good time to talk about Equestrian Legacy Radio's National Trail Ride to benefit the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And that ride takes place June 4th through the 6th. It's a lot more than a trail ride. In addition to 120 miles of beautiful trails at the Circle E Guest Ranch just outside of Nashville, this year's event features two nights of concerts with the legendary Michael Martin Murphy, Templeton Thompson, Stephanie Lane, and the Sawdust Brothers, Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship, the Cowboy Up Ball, Cowboy Church on Sunday morning with Mike and Doris Merritt, and Vendor Row. So for details, visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. This is a great event to help raise money to help children that are suffering with brittle bone disease, osteogenesis imperfecta. So be sure and visit that website to find out more about it and to make your reservations. And that place is filling up pretty quickly, and so we'd encourage you to do that right away. And Tina May, you're going to get to meet Mr. Murphy.
Yes, I am, and I get to meet you, and I'm going to get to meet Jeff with Trail Guard. I'm very excited.
There are going to be a lot of
folks
there.
Not to mention the beautiful riding.
And the beautiful riding and great music and just a great time with all the events that are taking place. And, you know, I didn't mention this before, but it only is a $50 donation to the foundation for folks to come and enjoy all of this. Circle E has discounted all of their camping sites and stalls for this event. There's great food there at their beautiful restaurant. And so it's just going to be a great time. We've got some folks coming down that bring a chuck wagon, and they're going to be serving meals for folks during the day. And, of course, the restaurant is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun and really is a place that the Trailmeister should show up for to visit all
yes,
of these folks.
Yes, Robert should show up. I agree.
Robert would like that very, very much. Robert just has to find time.
Well, you just detour there and then visit family up in Ohio or back here in the Southeast a little bit.
You know, that would be very nice. And I think I need to reevaluate the calendar. How about that?
I think that would be
wonderful. That would be great.
We'd love to see you. And you can have a booth there and tell people all about the Trailmeister. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, let's tell folks a little bit more about the Trailmeister. How can they find you?
Can do. The Trailmeister is the, and I just verified this a couple weeks ago, we are the largest equine trail and horse camping. I used to say directory, but now I'm going to call it a guide. We're the largest equine trail and horse camping guide in the world, not just North America anymore, but the world. So I was tickled to death to hear that. And so what
and it's
people
the best.
Can do. Yeah, isn't that kind of groovy? But my hat still
really
fits.
It really is, Robert. You know, with all my travels and everything, that is one thing that I look for, and I check into that kind of thing, and your website is absolutely the best. It's great.
You're wonderful. And actually, I'll throw a quick sneak peek out with the website. It's something that we're working on. It's not there yet, but hopefully within the next couple months, you'll be able to plug in, you know, your starting point and your where you want to wind up, and the website will show you all the trail and camping areas in between your two points. So if you're traveling with horses, it's going to show you, you know, all of the places that we've detailed along the way for overnight layovers as well as destinations. So real excited about
that.
Like I said, it's on the way. It's not there yet. The decoding for that is, we'll call it interesting. but in the interim, what folks can do, you can go to trailmeister.com, and it's just www.trailmeister, that's MEISTER.com, and you can search by zip code or city and state, or just pull up one of the state maps, and it will show you all the areas that we've listed. And one of the things that we do on every place that we list rather than just list an area and call it good, either myself or one of my trail bosses, we have a conversation with the land manager. So the state park, the, you know, Brian at Stagecoach Resort, we always verify the information so that you know you've got the straight skinny. And we include pictures of the campgrounds and, most importantly for me, the parking areas, because I can't park my trailer to save my life. but information like that we as trail riders and horse campers, you know, want to know and really need to know to avoid those unfortunate surprises.
All right, well, that's cool. And by the way, and is a regular featured guest on Saddle Up America, the number one trail riding radio program in the country. So that's a pretty good combination there, Robert.
I can't think of a better combination.
Yeah, pretty cool. Well, we encourage folks to go visit the website, trailmeister.com, and visit him on Facebook and like his page as well. Visit our Facebook page, Equestrian Legacy Radio, and like us, because we love to be liked. And we're constantly adding things to our website as well, so you can check it out at equestrianlegacy.net. And, Robert, you have any place that you're going to be soon that people might visit you?
Well, we've got a few places. Tonight I'm going to be talking with the Trail Marker Saddle Club here in Spokane, Washington. After that, we've got a talk where we're going to talk about interpreting contour maps and horse camping, trailhead horse camping, with the Scope Mounted Patrol in Eastern Washington. After that, the Backcountry Horsemen of Washington Rendezvous. That will be a kind of a nifty thing. We'll get a talk with that crazy Andy guy that we've been talking about all day long. He's going to be there. But I'm going to be talking about, you know, trail riding and things like that, as well as talking about some of the emergency messaging devices that are out there today for trail riders. Maybe we can talk about that the next second Tuesday of the month.
Next month.
We'll have to work on that. Well, listen, Robert, it's always fun to have you on the show, and I had this vision of your left arm up in the air and your right leg trying to get a good signal, so...
Well, evidently it's working. I haven't moved since.
All right. Well, my friend, we will talk to you soon. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It has been wonderful as always. And everybody out there, have a great month and happy trails.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. All right. So a fun show. And you have a special announcement, too, for our Legacy Club members, don't you, Tina May?
Yes, I do. I want to tell our Legacy Club members, you're talking about with Trail Guard, is taking 60% off our normal price for our Equestrian Legacy Radio Legacy Club members. Remember, the membership is free, and you can enroll now through February 14th for $144. It is the best coverage by the best company at the best price ever. And with this price, this introductory price, you also get to renew. As long as you stay a member, you can renew for the same price. You get locked in. And it's more than a 24-hour roadside service. They do much more than that. So go on our site, equestrianlegacy.net, and sign up to be a Legacy Club member, and then contact Trail Guard. Give you a peace of mind.
All right, so they can connect with Trail Guard right from our website as one of our Legacy Club sponsors and also as a show sponsor for Saddle Up America. So anyway, a great discount for our Legacy Club members to pick your coverage up for only $144, but that ends Valentine's Day. So it's a sweetheart of a deal, so don't let it get away from you. And
it covers all the drivers.
Yeah, so it's a good deal.
There's no extra Miss Tina,
so we have Saddle Up America that will be back on the air again at noon Central Time next Thursday, and we have a new program called...
Thursday's Camp
Tuesday,
Podcast
excuse,
Day.
Thank you very much. Tuesday's for Saddle Up America. Thursday is Campfire Cafe, and we've got a great show lined up this Thursday at noon. And then we've just introduced a new program on Saturday mornings called Saddle Up Saturdays. And so join us there at 9 o'clock your time to listen to Saddle Up Saturdays, and then Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, with your host Belinda Gale, and great inspirational music and great guests on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock Central Time. So a lot of great stuff going on with Equestrian Legacy Radio. And again, be sure and check out the Equestrian Legacy Radio's National Trail Ride to fit the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, and come out and join us for that, because that's going to be. And so they'll be there to sign autographs and visit with you, and I'm sure get out and do some riding. So it's going to be a great time. Be able to do a lot of shopping with the vendors that are there and enjoy the Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship. So again, that's at equestrianlegacy.net for full information and to make your reservations. And any final thoughts, Miss Tina?
Yes, I do, Gary. First, I want to give a huge thank you to all our listeners for making us the number one trail riding show heard worldwide. And if folks out there have a business and would like to become a sponsor of Equestrian Legacy Radio, they can email me at saddleupamerica@gmail.com. We have all kinds of levels to meet your needs, fit your budget, and reach your target market.
Website and promotion of your business, we'd love to do that. You can contact us as well as at equestrianlegacy.net. So we will remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
On Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close the show out today with Silver Spur by Terry Brown. And thanks for listening.
You're running through the hot sun in the desert land, down the old dry riverbed into the burning sand. But still he keeps on coming, although he's just a man. And if the cowboy catches you, you'll have to wear his brand. Once your kind was many, but now you're oh too few. And you can't stop to rest because the breed might end with you. The cowboys and the fences, they just keep closing in. So you've got to keep on running, cause they're after you again. Silver Spur, keep on running, keep on running like the wind. The hot sun and the desert seem to be your only friends. Keep on running from the cowboy, he'll catch you if he can. And if the cowboy catches you, you'll have to wear his brand. Some call you an outlaw, some say renegade, but I know of just one reason for the legend that you gained. Many men have tried to catch you, but you're still running free. And their hearts are filled with envy, because they can never be. Silver Spur, keep on running like the wind. Though the hot sun and the desert seem to be your only friends. Keep on running from the cowboy, he'll catch you if he can. And if the cowboy catches you, you'll have to wear his brand. But you look right out in front of you, and there a cowboy stands. Another one right behind you has a firebrand in his hand. And as the ropes go around you, you fight as best you can. And hunger for your freedom as they burn you with the brand. Silver Spur, no more running, no more running like the wind. Seems no matter where you go, the fences close you in. But your freedom you remember, just like a long lost friend, and you just won't be happy till you're free to run again. Silver Spur, you'll go running like the wind, out across the desert in the hot sun once again. Though he left his mark upon you, the cowboy didn't win, and you'll celebrate your freedom as you run into the wind. Yes, you'll celebrate your freedom as you run.